gratitude and thanksgiving start with a recognition outside of us of who God is and what He has done, and we're giving thanks in response to that.
During Thanksgiving, Christians and non-Christians alike give thanks for the blessings we all enjoy. But for Christians in particular, what we have to be thankful for far exceeds what the world does. And on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green lays out what those specific blessings are as prompted by the Lord's Prayer. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and the title of our series is Now We Thank Our God. Today we'll get started with part one of Don's message, Meaningful Thanksgiving. And Don, for Christians, every day should be Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, my friend, Bill's comment might seem challenging if you're in the midst of difficult times, discouraging relationships, or things like that that we all go through. But it's important to realize that the Christian life transcends all of those things. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It is God's will for us to be thankful, and we have far more to be thankful for than what we often remember. Today on the broadcast, we're going to look at those, and I trust that at the end you'll be rejoicing in Christ.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Well, as you all know, this is the week of the American holiday of Thanksgiving. We associate that holiday with the blessings of food and family and football for some, and I'm good with that. I'm not going to be critical of those traditions. But what I want to do is to elevate your sense of thanksgiving and gratitude beyond the human and to give you a sense of wonder at the glory of God that would make you truly thankful in a truly God-honoring sense also throughout the rest of this week. What exactly does it mean to give thanks? Well, you give thanks in a biblical sense when you express gratitude to God for who He is and the blessings that He has given to you. It's an expression of gratitude that comes from the heart that says, "Lord, I realize that You have given things to me. I thank You for that. Lord, I recognize who You are. I thank You for that as well." And so we're talking about a vertical dimension of thanks that is God-centered, that is God-directed. And I want to tell you that a true Christian is someone who will be thankful to God. That is one of the defining marks of a true Christian. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It is the will of God, it is the command of God that we be a thankful people. This is what we are meant to do. And by way of contrast, just by way of introduction, turn over to the book of Romans chapter 1 for just a moment. Romans chapter 1 in verse 21. I'll give you a moment to either turn there or scroll there on your iPad. Romans chapter 1. Paul is talking about the universal condemnation of unbelievers and how they suppress the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the truth in unrighteousness. And one of the distinguishing marks of an unbelieving person, one of the reasons that they are marked out for condemnation, is because they are not thankful. Romans 1 verse 21 says, "Even though they knew God," meaning that they recognized His hand in creation, it's not a statement that they were true Christians, "even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." And so the contrast is very sharp in that. True Christians are marked by thanksgiving. They gladly submit to that command of God to give thanks. And part of just having a regenerate, spirit-filled heart is a sense of gratitude toward our Redeemer. On the other hand, the mark of an unbeliever is a lack of gratitude toward God. Stated differently, a lack of gratitude is the mark of somebody who does not truly know Christ, regardless of whatever else they might say about their profession of faith in Christ. And so this attitude of gratitude goes straight to the heart of what it means to be a spiritual person, to be a Christian, to be someone who knows Christ. As we read the scriptures, we just find so many things to be thankful for. But what I want to do is I want to go beyond the earthly matters that might be expressed through superficial things that anybody could say thank you for in one sense, that are just temporal and passing and really related to very little more than our own sense of entertainment and our own sense of comfort. We want to go beyond that and kind of enter in with bold and confident access into the Holy of Holies and find why it is that we should be thankful to God and in response to the transcendent qualities of who He is and what His work is. So go back to Matthew chapter 6 now with that sense of introduction. I never get tired of teaching on this passage. It's a passage that in various places we've looked at in the past, but it's inexhaustible, really. As Jesus tells His disciples, this is how you should pray. And I'm just going to take the opportunity to set it in your mind yet again. I know I read it just a few moments ago. But with the framing sense of gratitude in your mind now, let's look at this prayer from that context. Jesus said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. At one level, this might seem to be an unusual text to choose for a Thanksgiving message, because this is framed in the language of petition rather than as an expression of gratitude. In the terms in which Jesus gave it, these are imperatives that we're asking God in dependence to give us and provide certain things for us, and as well as the language of praise. But here's how I would like you to think about this passage in the context in which we meet. If this is what we are to ask from God under command of our Lord, Jesus said, pray this way, and gives us a number of different petitions that we are to have mark the spirit of our prayer life throughout all of our Christian existence. If that's what we're to ask from God, then surely it is also that for which it is appropriate for us to express gratitude to God for. This is what it is appropriate to thank Him for. Having expressed the petitions, to come back and to thank Him for what He has done and who He is. And that's the spirit in which we're going to look at this prayer. You know, you remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers and He sent them away, only one of them came back and gave thanks to Him. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Well, what we want to be as a people, what we want to be as a church, what we should want to be as Christians is we want to be marked by that smaller sliver, that 10% that not only asks God, but comes back and thanks Him as we do, as He mediates His blessings to us in so many ways. And so that's what we're going to focus on here all too briefly. And we're only going to touch on these points so that we can see the broad picture, so that we can get a sense of the panorama for which we should be grateful and not simply focus on one particular item alone. And so what are we thankful for as we look at this prayer? Well, first of all, we could say that we're thankful for the person of God. We are thankful for who God is in His very character. before we ever get to anything that he does or doesn't do for us, we're just thankful for who he is. We're glad that the God of the Bible is the God of the universe. We're glad that the God of the Bible is the God who he is revealed to be in Scripture. And at the start of this prayer, we see that this is the very foundation of how we pray, and therefore becomes the very foundation of our gratitude. God is who he is. This is why we're grateful. Look at verse 9 with me. Jesus says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." God, let your name be sanctified. Let your name be set apart. The name of God is more than the term by which we call him. It's more than just like a name, John or Tom or anything like this. The name of God is a reflection. It is the sum of his very character. It is the character of God that is expressed by the concept of his name. And what is that character? What is God like? Well, we could study the whole Bible to answer that question. But go back to Exodus chapter 34, and I just want to show you one passage too. Again, we're just touching on points lightly. Exodus chapter 34, in verse 5, Exodus 34, verse 5, the Lord is manifesting himself to Moses, and it says in verse 5 that the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as Moses called upon the name of the Lord. And in verse 6, the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Here is a reason above all reasons to be thankful. Here is a reason above all reasons for you to get on your knees and express gratitude toward God. That you as a sinful creature, even more for us as redeemed creatures, we can know God in this way. We can know him for who he truly is. And who he truly is truly magnificent. It is truly wonderful to know that the God who operates the universe, the God who brought us to faith in Christ Jesus, the God who forgave our sins, is a God who is compassionate. He's a God who's gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. With all of our sinfulness, with all of our spiritual indifference, our spiritual lethargy, that prayerlessness that we often fall into, the indifference to his word, the lack of obedience, with all of that marking us, here in response is God being who he is, gracious, full of loving kindness, forgiving transgression, iniquity, and sin. How grateful are we that God is like that, as opposed to being, if he were someone else, which we're talking in absurdities now, but if he were quick to anger and impetuous in his judgments, we would all be miserably lost. And so the fact that God in his innermost being, by the very nature of who he is like this, sets a whole different context for the course of life for us. We, in response to our sin, we are met with grace. In response to our weakness, we are met with his strength and faithfulness. That's a reason to be grateful and to be thankful. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He is graciously disposed toward us. And what better way to remember that than what we're going to do in just a few moments and remember the Lord's table. You have in front of you the elements of bread and the wine, so to speak, the juice that we use. to represent and to remember the shed blood, the crucified body of Christ. How great is His grace? How much can we magnify His willingness to forgive sin? That much. That much. That He entered into humanity. He went to the cross for you by name. Now I ask you, is that not reason for gratitude? Is that not reason to be profoundly thankful in ways that transcend being thankful for certain earthly things that we might or might not enjoy? And so Psalm 97 verse 12 says it well. Psalm 97 verse 12 says, "Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to His holy name." And so as we gather together here corporately, what we're doing, as we worship God even through the opening of His Word, we are responding, and Lord God, we are responding even as we hear and even as we speak here now. We respond to His character with a sense of gratefulness, of gratitude, of thankfulness, of joy and happiness that God is who He is. And so, as you gather together with family in the name of a Thanksgiving holiday, go straight to the throne of God with your gratitude. Go straight to who He is, forget everything about the world, and just bow before Him in gratefulness for His holy, righteous, gracious, faithful character. Because God is who He is, in a sense, everything else is secondary to that. When we rest in Him, when we rest in the Beloved, when we rest in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. We have perfect satisfaction. We have all the protection, all of the joy that we need. And when we respond to Him with thankfulness just on who He is, we manifest His glory in saying, "Your character alone is reason for me to give thanks." And that's what we do. Hallowed be Your name. Now, secondly, and these things just continue to expand and expand, we're thankful for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Look at verse 10, Matthew chapter 6. The person of God, now the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Your kingdom come." And in light of the lawless events over the past 24 hours or so, here's a fresh reminder that we're not always going to be subject to the sin and the wickedness that we see around us. That this world and the wicked people of this world and the nature of sin is not going to have the final word on the outcome of existence. That there is a coming culmination where Christ will return and establish His kingdom on earth. He will rule and righteousness will be supreme. There is a day coming when Christ will physically be on the earth again, manifesting righteousness and enforcing righteousness on the world. It's not always going to be like this. This is as bad as it gets. In one sense, I mean, it'll get worse in some ways, but this isn't the declining nature of society as we see it now, is not the outcome. The outcome will be marked by a supernatural intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ returning to earth to establish the kingdom of God on earth. That's reason to be thankful. We can look past, we can look through the horror and the ugliness of this life, whether it's on a social level or on a personal level, and say, Christ is coming back. I'm grateful for that. Revelation 11, verse 15 says that the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." We're not living for this world, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful in advance for what Christ is going to do to restore order to His creation. We're thankful that sin and Satan do not get the final word, that Christ will be supreme. that sadness in this life is not permanent. It is not eternal for the Christian, because there will be a certain intervention of Christ that will bring things back to order and restore joy to His people. What I want to say to you is this, is that what we should do as Christians is we should appropriate that by faith. We should, as it were, reach into the future and bring that into the present for grounds for thanksgiving now. Lord, I'm grateful to You today that Christ will return, that I will see my Lord face to face, and You will right out all the wrongs. Lord, I'm grateful for that. And we're grateful in advance. We're grateful by faith because we have a certain revelation in God's Word that makes us thankful. But you know, there's another aspect to the kingdom as you read through Scripture. There's the spiritual aspect of the kingdom as well, not just the earthly return of Christ, but the spiritual kingdom. This prayer, "Thy kingdom come," reminds us that God is doing a continuing work of bringing sinners to salvation. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this, "He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so, when you became a Christian, when God brought you to faith in Christ, God expanded His spiritual kingdom. As we go about the business of the gospel and we see other sinners coming to faith in Christ, we see God expanding His spiritual kingdom. And those who once were in darkness are now in light. Those who were facing judgment now have a coming expectation of blessedness and being glorified in the presence of Christ. And that's what belongs to us as Christians, is that we have been transferred from the domination of Satan into the lordship of Christ, brought out of a dark kingdom into a kingdom of light, brought out of slavery, brought into true spiritual freedom, out of guilt into righteousness and forgiveness. What a great, unspeakable, uncountable blessing God has given us in our salvation. Thy kingdom come. When God saved us, His kingdom came to us personally. And so, your salvation and the salvation of those that you love who are in Christ should be central to your gratitude. Oh God, you are a king, and You have extended the blessings of Your kingdom to me and to those that I love as well. God, I am so thankful that You have made Your kingdom known. Here, spiritually, now, then, coming in the future with Christ. God, there is just such an unfolding majesty to the grandeur of Your kingdom, and I share in that. You've brought me into that. Oh God, I'm so thankful to You. I am so thankful to You as a manner and as a pattern of life. God, You are who You are. Thank You. God, Your kingdom come. It will come. It has come. God, thank You. And so, what I want you to see is there's a responsive nature to gratitude, isn't there? And gratitude and thanksgiving start with a recognition outside of us of who God is and what He has done, and we're giving thanks in response to that. And what He has done is beyond comprehension, and it makes us grateful. Now, thirdly, said the person of God, the kingdom of God, let's give thanks. Thirdly, as we follow the pattern of Jesus' prayer, for the providence of God. The providence of God. Look at verse 10 again. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
The person of God, the kingdom of God, and the providence of God are just three reasons we should be thankful each day. Pastor Don Green will detail three more reasons next time here on the Truth Pulpit as he continues our series, Now We Thank Our God. We hope you'll join us then. Right now, though, Don's back in studio to tell you about some great study aids.
Well, my friend, I am committed to the dynamic of verbal preaching. I love to preach and speak. I think there's a dynamic when a preacher opens the Word of God to hearers that the audio component of that is a means that God uses greatly in the lives of those who hear. But I also understand that sometimes you want to go back and study what was said more closely. We have transcripts of all of my full-length sermons available on our website, and I would encourage you to go there to find them and to be able to study the messages more closely through the written word, as you've also enjoyed it through the spoken word.
Thank you, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our transcripts, podcasts, and even CDs of Don's messages. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.